Okay, the boy side. Today's daf is daf Chav Dalet. We're holding on the.
Mr. Sheik, what do you want?
We're holding on the top line of Chav Dalet Amid Aleph, and we're in the middle of a shtickle sugya. Yeah. What was the shtickle sugya? If you go back to Chav Gimel Amid Beis, roughly 6-7 lines from the bottom. Boy minay Rav Yosef Bered Rav Nachunya Rav Yehuda Maushi Aniach Adam Tfilov Tachas Marashoysev. A person is going to sleep and he needs a place to go and put his tefillin. The question is, can he put his tefillin underneath his head? Now, what does it mean underneath his head? As we'll see in the Gemara shortly, he's going to go and put it underneath his pillow. Is that proper or not? So initially we had Shmuel, that Shmuel said it is permissible to put it underneath a person's pillow when he's going to sleep, even if afilo ishtoi imoi, even if his wife is together with him. And if his wife is together with him in the same bed, there's a good chance or likelihood that they're going to come lidei tashmish hamita. Said Shmuel, it doesn't bother me, that's fine. Keep the tefillin underneath the pillow. The Gemara doesn't say, but the Ritva adds that we're talking about a situation where the tefillin are covered with a double kisui, because otherwise one is not allowed to engage in tashmish hamita. If you have svarim or other tashmishi kedusha around, it has to be a double covering, which acts like a machitza. So that's what Shmuel paskin the fili ishti imai. The Gemara asked the kasha meisvei, and the Gemara said as a result, yufta de Shmuel to yufta, we're on the last line of Chav Gimel Amid Beis. Ogifreit means we have refuted Shmuel's halacha. Nevertheless, Omer Rava, final line of Chav Gimel Amid Beis, that Afa gav desanya. Even though we said that Yufta de Shmuel, that based on that brisa, we asked a knockout kasha on Shmuel. Nevertheless, Ilchus HaKavasi, the loch is like Shmuel, after all, my time, what's the reason why? Tap of Chav Dalet Amid Aleph, Kolin and Terino, Tfei Odif. While it is true that putting the tefillin underneath a person's pillow when he's sleeping involves a certain amount of bizoyon. Bizoyon means shame to the tefillin. However, that concern is overridden by an even more important concern, and that is that the tefillin should not be snatched away either by mice or by thieves. And therefore, we have to weigh our priorities, and our priorities are we want the person to wake up in the morning and still have his tefillin intact and still with him. So if you look at the top, Rashi, Kolin Terino Tvei Odiv, anything having to do with Linterino. Linterino means Shmira. Protecting the tefillin is more important, Lahu mi bizyoni, more important than the shame involved. Kama shehu muzer al shmirason, we are more concerned about the Shmira, about the protection, Menu achborim, from the mice, umen haganovim, and from the thieves. Tvei odav lahu mi bizyoni, that is considered to be more choshev and dear to us than bizyonis, the shame of the tefillin. Continuing the Gemara. Do you mean you go and put the tefillin right directly under his head? So his head is lying on the tefillin? No. Beikar lekesis. We mean between the pillow and the mattress. Shaloi keneged roish. Not directly under his head. We're talking about a rather large size pillow, so that his head is lying on the first part of it, and the second part of the pillow is lying on top of the tefillin to protect the tefillin. But his head is not lying on top of the tefillin directly. But didn't we learn in the price of Reb Chia that you can put it b'koiva? Now b'koiva normally means a hat. However, over here Rashi says that just like a hat is a covering over a person's head, so too here the tefillin baitel, the kiss that you put it in, the sack that you put it in, that is its covering. So we learned in the price of Reb Chia that menicha b'koiva, you put the tefillin in their kiss, in their tefillin baitel, tachas mashoysev, underneath his head. So ibazoi, and back to square one, it says underneath the head. Says he wanted the mapik leila murshe de koiva lebar. What he does is he takes out the murshe. Murshe means the bulge in the tefillin zekel. Meaning, if you think about what your tefillin zekel looks like, most of it is occupied by the tefillin, and there, of course, it protrudes, it comes up. But then the very first, the front of it, where you have the zipper or with the opening, that, of course, is not so bulging because there's nothing there. So what he does is he puts the bulging part of the tefillin zekel towards the wall, so to speak, towards the head of the bed, and the rest of it, the opening of that zekel, would then be closer to his own head, the head of the bed, as opposed to the head of the individual. So once again, bottom line is you don't put your head directly on the tefillin, even directly on the pillow, directly on the tefillin, because the pillow that the person is sleeping on, that portion underneath that head part of the pillow, underneath that is just the opening to the tefillin and not the actual bulging part where the tefillin are residing. The bar kapara tzayiluhu bekiltza umapik limorshein lebar. Bar Kapora apparently didn't have, he may have had a tefillin zekel, but in addition to that, he wanted to go and put a second layer, as we said. So what did he do to cause there to be a second layer? He didn't apparently have an extra sheet or towel to go and put over the tefillin zekel. So he went and took the tefillin zekel, and he was tzayiluhu. He vikled it ein. Vikled it ein means to go and wrap it into kiltza. Kiltza in the good old days, many of the beds had curtains on them. If you go to museums, if you go to the homes of famous people from the yesteryear, you see that besides the bed, they had curtains on the sides. So he would go and wrap the tefillin into the curtain so that you'd have with that a double covering. And there he was careful that in the wrapping he would make that the bulge of the tefillin zekel would be further away from the bed, so that the opening would be closer to the people sleeping in the bed, and the other part where the tefillin actually resides would be further away. Rav Shisha Barei Dravidi Manach Lehu Ashar Shifa, he would put it on a footstool, Uparis Sudra Alayu, and he would go and cover it up with a second covering of a sudra, sort of being either a handkerchief or a shawl, a second cover. Rav Amnuna Barei Drav Yosef Zimna Chodah V'kim Nekami D'Rava. One time I was standing in front of Rava. Remember, Rava was the one that paskin down below, like Shmuel, that even if ishtoi imoi, nevertheless one can go and put the tefillin underneath the pillow. So now, Rav Amnuna Brei Rav Yosef is telling a real live, first-hand story, first-person story, that he was once before Rava, the Amali, and Rava asked me, do me a favor, zil isili tefillin, please bring my tefillin in for davening. And where are those tefillin? They're in my bedroom. When I found them, ben karla kesis, in between the mattress and between the pillow, shaloi geneged roishoi, but I could tell that it was a wide pillow, and that the morsha, that is the bulge on the tefillin zekel, was not next to where his head would have been lying on the bed. V'haviyadana diyoyim tefillah, and I knew that the night before had been the night of tefillah of his wife, and that therefore there's a good chance that they had relations the night before because of the inyan of an oina when the woman comes back from the mikveh. So why did he go and send me into his room? It would be kind of a little bit an infringement on his own privacy with his wife. The reason is because he didn't want to tell me the theoretical halacha that we started with on the last line of Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, but he wanted you to know that this is Taka Halacha L'Maisa, this is the real McCoy, this is the real halacha. Two people are sleeping together in the same bed. Now the two people that are sleeping in the same bed are sleeping without pajamas, and therefore they're sleeping without clothing. They are not allowed to go and lay in Krishma if they are facing each other, because then the evorim of the erva might be touching one another, and that would be very, very provocative, and that wouldn't allow either of them to properly have kavana in Krishma. There might be other related issues as a result also. Said the pasuk, "Yemachanecha kadosh," and therefore you're not supposed to see erva.
But when the person was in the mikvah, his man kriyashma arrives.
Right, exactly. So now our Gemara is telling us, face to face, that would certainly be prohibited. The question is, can they turn and have their backsides towards each other? And Rashi says later on, even if the backsides are touching one another, would that be permissible or not? So Maoshi Yachse Panav Yikr Krishma, this one's looking the other direction, this one's looking the other direction. He's allowed to go and lay in Krishma, even if the second person inside in the bed happens to be his wife. No problem, as long as they're back to back and they're not front to front. Maskar of Yosef, you're telling me, Ishtoi, V'loy mi boyacher. by Shmuel adding the word vafilu, vafilu, not only somebody else, but even his own wife, this would be permissible. So Rav Yosef says, I respectfully disagree with you, Shmuel. It's the other way around. I would say that there's a greater kula to be able to go and live, or it's an easier halacha to paskin that he can live together with his wife when they're back to back, because since he is rogil with his wife, after all, he knows her for a while, and therefore there is not that degree of hirhur of thoughts whilst he's learning Krishna, because he's kind of used to his wife, so to speak. But if you have a fremda, if you have somebody else, another man, that is lying back to back, so then that is such an unusual thing, it might be kind of provocative, especially if the backsides are touching one another, even though that's not considered to be an erva mamish, but nevertheless, it could provoke thoughts, and he wouldn't have the proper kavana in Krishma. So therefore, we have a machloikas now between Shmuel and Rav Yosef. Shmuel holds that back-to-back laning of Krishma is permissible for everyone, whether it's his ishtoi imoy or anybody else. And Rav Yosef says, only ishtoi imoy, this would be permissible. Anybody else inside the same bed, this would be prohibited. That either one of them have to move out of the bed, or they should both wear pajamas, or whatever. Frank de Mameisve, Shnaim Yishen Bemita, we're going to ask now a stira between two brises. We have two people sleeping in the same bed, achas, Bemita achas. Zeh machzupana v'koyri, zeh machzupana v'koyri, like we just said, they should just turn around to the other side, back to back, and that is mutter. But we have a second brisa. Hayoshin Mimita, somebody who's sleeping in his bed. And he has his children and his household, his family, together with him. Now, the word b'nei beisoy is somewhat ambiguous. Rashi learns that according to this part of the Gemara so far, it means b'nei beisoy to the exclusion of his wife. His wife is not included, just abana b'nei beisoy. Other members of the house, probably that would mean einiklach, etc., not just children. Hari zelikra krishma elam ken hoisa talis mafsek is b'nei. Even though these happen to be his own children, he should not go and lane krishma unless there's a talis that's mafsek. In other words, there's some sort of machitza between them, covering him, covering them, etc. Vim hoyu banu b'nei beisoy k'tanim, if you're talking about kleine kinderlach, that's mutter. What the age of the kinderlach is, we will describe shortly in the Gemara, but if it's small kinderlach, you don't have to worry. Presumably because it doesn't provoke any thoughts whilst he's trying to learn Krishna. So we have now l'choyra estira between the two brises. Because the first brise says, no problem, shnayim yishenu b'mita, just turn the other side, everything is fine, everything is good. The other brise says, oh, no. Even though it's his own kids, you have to have talis mafsekes b'neim. So the Bishlam, the Rabbi Yosef l'kash, couldn't Rabbi Yosef, it's not shver. Why? Because remember, Rabbi Yosef made a distinction between Ishtoi and Chayrim. So therefore, the first brisa says that they can both lay together in the same bed when they're back-to-back of Ishtoi. That's what Rabbi Yosef says. Ishtoi is fine. Hobi Acher. And the second brisa is talking about others besides his wife. That would be the children that are older. We're not talking about Ketana, we're talking about older kids. He's not rogil to go and sleep with them in the same bed. It could provoke. And therefore, that's the reason why the second brisa says you have to have a talis mafsekes b'nei. El Shmuel, the Shmuel that said it makes no difference back to back is okay. Anybody, a filu ishtimai, the kosh kein acher. So kasha. So why did the second brisa insist on having a talis mafsekes? Just say that both of them should go and turn in the other direction. If the chayy shver on Shmuel, Amal Shmuel. So Shmuel says, don't say that it's only shver on me. But Rav Yosef minicha, is it any better than like Rav Yosef? Vatanya, the second brisa says, Hoya yoshin b'mita, ubanu b'mnei beisoy b'mita. Same brisa which we just read a moment ago. Lo yikra krishma l'mkein oisa t'lisa mafsekes b'nei. And says Rashi, Shmuel understands this price when it says b'nei beisoy, that it includes his wife. That even though his wife is also in the bed together, lo yikra krishma, unless you have a talis mafsekes. If it's his wife, why don't we say that they can go back to back? Elamai yislach l'meima. What do you have to go and say? Ishtol Rav Yosef is tanoi. That according to Rav Yosef, the case of Ishtoi is a machloikis tanoi. Can you or can you not say Krishma in the same bed together with your wife as long as they are both facing in the other direction? So you have to say it's at Machlek Sanam. So me too, even according to me, Shmuel, that I said that all are the same, Ishtoi together with all anybody else, they're all on the same level, same din. In fact, it's Machlek Sanam. Not everybody agrees with my view.
according to our Yosef, why can we say that one is his wife and one is his wife and his kids? So even though your wife is good, but there's somebody else in the business.
Presumably the Gemara understands the Braisa to mean oi oi kama, not that he has 25 people, means the Yosha Mamita with his children or with Bnei Beisai, and therefore or the Bnei Beisai would mean his wife. Oh, if his wife is there, on that the Braisa should say, you don't need a talis, just go in the other direction. So not that they're all together, but that rather that there's one or the other. Omamat. Agovis means the backside, and that's why he said before that although the Gemara didn't say it expressly, but that's the case over here, that the backs are touching. So aren't backs the same concern as the fronts? Just like the fronts is an inyan of erva, aren't the backsides also erva? Agovis do not have the same status of erva as the front of an individual. I'll bring a rayatak to Ravuna. What happens if you have a woman that has just finished baking, she's middle of baking, and she wants to go and be mafresh chala from the Issa and go and make a bracha on it? Is she allowed to do that aruma when she's not wearing clothes? Obviously, we're not recommending that she should do that. It's probably talking about a lady that's very, very poor and that all her clothes are now in the laundry that are all being washed out. Whatever, it doesn't make a difference what the hechatimtza is we're talking about, at least theoretically. What's the status? Can she or can she not? Says Rav Huna, says the Braisa, that she can go and be mafresh chala even though she's not wearing clothes. The whole problem is the erva down below. So now, the Gemara doesn't talk about up above. Presumably, she's wearing some sort of shirt on top, a blouse, whatever. I'm just concerned about her erva milamata. So that's not a problem. If she's sitting on the karka, since it's nothing, it's not like a male's erva where it protrudes. So therefore, as long as she just sits on the ground, that's enough. That would not work for a man, because for a man he does have an aver which protrudes, so just lying on the ground is not going to do the trick. So what's the Gemara's raya now to Rav Huna? Because even though if the erva happens to be on the ground and cannot be seen, however the backside can be seen, if a person walks in back of that lady that's giving challah, then presumably one could see the back in the back. So therefore you got so what do I see from this? I have a raya that that's not called erva, and that's why she's allowed to go and be mafresh the challah. Take him of Nachma Yitzchak, you have no raya. You're going to show you, but now toichos bekarka. She wasn't just sitting flat on top of flat karka, top of sand, but in fact she was embedded a little bit into the sand, so that not only her erva was covered up, but even the backside was covered up. So it's a major cover up over here. Therefore, you have no raya to the inyan whether agoves are an erva or are not an erva, but you do see from the previous cases that the Gemara does not consider it to be an erva because of the fact that the Shmuel and of Yosef allowed for the recitation of Kriya Shema, even though the backsides may have been touching one another. However, if the children are small, mutter, then the father can go and say Krishma, even though he has his children with him in the bed. But they have to be ketanim. That comma, what's the age? As we learned back in Maseches Nida, for a boy or for a girl to be considered a bas or a balbia, so by a girl it would be from 3 years and older, and from a tinik would be from 9 years and older, so anything less than that would be the ketanim. So the ad kama means that's the highest limitation, will be until, not including 3 full years, and tinik up to the full 9 years. Ikariyami, there's another version that in fact were even more makel, tinik is bas yud aleph shana v'yemechad, up to the age of 11, the tinik ben shtei mestri shana v'yemechad, up to the age of 12, because that's 1 year before they become actual puberty, to become a tana, or I should say a gdoil or a nara, and the case of the Bukhar, a bar mitzvah. And idi b'idi, in both cases, ad kidei, shadayim nechoinu usa'orech tzimeach. It's got to be that there was no physical development yet of the body. Because if there's already a physical development of the body, even if the child happens to be younger, but nevertheless, it could still be provocative for the father, and therefore he would not be able to think and focus on Krishna properly, so that, again, would be prohibited. Omer v'kanon Ravashi, hosim omer rova. Back when we started today's daf, we said that Rava Paskin, Avagav the Tiyufta, even though we had a kasha from a Braisa yesterday, Rava said we nevertheless Paskin like Shmuel anyway. Now what was that? Halacha Legabi putting the tefillin underneath the pillow, etc. So Avagav the Tiyufta to Shmuel, Hilcha the Gosha to Shmuel. Hachamai, what's the halacha over here about having the two people laying Krishma back to back, at least in the case of Ishtoi, and according to Shmuel, not only Ishtoi, but anybody? Hachamai, what be the halacha over here? Amalei, so he answered him back rhetorically. What does that mean? The word machta machtino over here means, are you weaving them all together on the same weaving loom with one action? These are two separate cases. In one case, where Rova said expressly, we paskin like Shmuel, but if he didn't say it, he didn't say it. So you can't just make a package deal and say that wherever Rova in these types of halachas involving beds and kriyashma and tefillin and all the rest, we don't always paskin like Shmuel. When Rava says we paskin, we paskin. When Rava says, when Rava was silent, you cannot bring a raya one from the other. What the English expression would be something, you can't go and paint them all with one brush, with one paint. Each case is a separate case. You can't weave them all together in one weaving loop. If a person has the sarois from the matzah, from the erva, protruding through a hole in the person's beged, person has a hole in his pants, or a woman, etc., and there are a couple of hairs that are sticking out, are those considered to be erva? And for the Gemara, Karalei, Sir Rapapa answered Rameri, he said, Sayar, Sayar, here, here. Now what means here, here? Says Rashi, Kaloi Mabekach, here is not an issue. It's only if you actually saw the person, the body, the skin, as opposed to the hair. Hair itself is not an erva. Nishtahina, nishtahir. Beautiful. Nice. Excellent. Om Rav Yitzchak, tefach be'isha erva. Even a tefach be'isha, which is normally covered, it's an erva. One's not allowed to look at it because it's erva. Lamai, Faith Yimura, what halach are you trying to tell us? Ilem listakuliba, are you talking about legabi histaklus? Histaklus means not just to see, but to gaze with intensity because you want to have hanoah. V'omer of sheishis, lama mona kosa tachshishi shebechutz im tachshitin shebefnim. Back when the Klal Yisrael fought against Midian, it says at the end that they brought a whole bunch of presents to the base, to Moshe Rabbeinu for the Mishkan, and the specific lashon is in our Gemaras, it's Ois Zayin all the way in the bottom of the Yamin, and these beautiful Gemaras donated by Yah. So what does it say in Ois Zayin all the way at the bottom? Vanakri v'skorban Hashem, the soldiers went and brought their korban. Korban doesn't mean here literally a sacrifice; it means their present. Isha shematzach li zohav, if he found any types of gold implements, ornaments, etz oda v'tzamid tabas. Now all of these are different types of ornaments that women wear, different types of jewelry. The etzod, v'tzamid, v'tabas, those are all three which are tachshitin shebachutz. One of them is a bracelet, one is a necklace, one is a ring. The ogil v'chumas are both which are worn mibefnim. In other words, they are covered over by a woman's clothing. So why would we go and mention all of these five together as one package deal? If a person goes and looks, even an etzva is always uncovered, right? Women, except if they're wearing gloves, but otherwise, you can always see a woman's fingers. If a person were to look at the etzva ktana, even at the pinky, but he's doing with his taklis because he wants to have a no. Ooh, she has such a beautiful pinky. Wow, I've never seen a pinky like that for the last 5 minutes. It's so special. So if he does that type of taklis, kilim mistaklim mokam atoyiv, as if he's looking at the mokam erva, and this therefore is prohibited. If that's the case, Frank Gemara, so what is the Gemara saying that tefach be'isha is erva? It's not only tefach be'isha where she's normally covered, but we're talking about even our pinky is, it could be an erva. So what? Efet Gemara be'ishtei ula krishma. We're talking about even if it has to be his own wife, where there is a certain degree of regilus, like Rashi said before, that a person is rugged, he sees his wife from time to time when she's not fully clothed. However, if he is saying now krishma, he has to go into another room or make sure his wife covers up so that there should not be any tefach, which is normally covered, uncovered. Amr of Chizda, Shoik B'isha is an erva. Shoik is the thigh. We normally think of the thigh as being between the hip and between the knee. However, the Mishneh Berurah and others bring from certain Mefarshim, the Chazon Ish also held that Shoik B'isha is even below the knee, between the knee and the ankle. Shenema, like it says in the pasuk, Gal Yishoik, Ivri Nehorais, Uksiv Tegal Ervasech, Vegam Tiroa Cher Pasech. Now these two psukim are back to back with one another, both Yishai and Memzai and Beis and Gimel, and therefore the first pasuk is referring to Gal Yishoik, if the Shoik is uncovered, from Lashon Hiskalus, that it's Megoli, it's opened up. And then the next pasuk says, what's the din? Tigol Ervasech, it's your Erva is uncovered. Ah, and you also see the cherpa, the shame. So the point is, from these two psukim, I see that the thigh is considered an erva, and therefore a person is not allowed to go and say krishma if the shoik is uncovered. And now what happens as a result is that if you touch it the way we normally touch it, that shoik means until the knee, okay, just make sure that the woman has her thighs covered totally, including the knee, and then you don't have a problem of shoik b'isha erva because it's all covered up, and then you'd be able to daven, you'd be able to go and lay in krishma, etc. However, if you hold shoik b'isha erva, that means from the knee until the ankle, it becomes more complicated because most women do not go with their clothes all the way down to the bottom. Now, those women that do, now you'll see it's not because they happen to be old-fashioned or because they're crazy, it's because they are machmir on this union of the shoik b'isha erva going all the way down to the ankle. Most of us are noyig that we're only concerned about beyond the knee. Anyway, but if in fact a woman is wearing a short dress above the knee, our Gemara says it's an erva, and you would not be able to go and say any dovashe pigdusha in front of that woman. Omer Shmuel, koil b'isha erva. Not only body, but also just her singing is an erva. Shnem, it's in the pasuk, ki koilach orev umarech nova. Since we're talking about the koil being very pleasant and very sweet, well, if a woman sings, that's a very, very sweet call, and therefore it becomes problematic. Call b'isha erva. Rav Sheshes, seir b'isha erva. A married woman's hair is also an erva. Shenem, it's in the pasuk, se'orech ke'eder ho'izim. Now, why do I say that it's dafka dafka by a married lady, not by any girl? Because the pasuk begins, this is pasuk hey down below, hinach yofa rayasi. Oh, my wife is so beautiful. Etc. And then it says sarech ke'edor izim. Since we're talking about yofa rayasi, rayasi means a wife. Oh, by a wife, a married woman, you have the inyan of the seir that has to be covered. If it's not covered, it's an erva and was not allowed to go and say any davish b'kedusha or kriyishma with a woman whose hair is uncovered. That's the reason that's the makar for the inyan of wearing sheitlach and wearing tichalach and other covers over a person's hair, of a married woman's hair. Amr Rav Chanina, Ani Reisi es Rebbe Shetola Tfilav. We're going back to Tfilah now. Says Rav Chanina, I saw Rebbe, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, who's Mesada the Mishnayis, that he used to go and hang up his tefillin from a peg on the wall, just hanging there. Meisvei. How did Rebbe do that? We learned in the Brisa, Toilet Tefillah, Yitl Lechayiv, Chas V'Sholem, a person goes and hangs up his tefillin on the wall, hanging from a peg, L'chulilah, Yitl Lechayiv, his whole life is hanging and is suspended. In other words, this is a dangerous thing to do. Don't do it. Obviously, Rebbe would know about this din, and he wouldn't have ignored it. Moreover, Dorshe Chamuras Amru, those that learn the Psukim, what do they learn? Our Gemara says Chamurais, Rashi is Goyis Darshir Shumais, says Rashi is Kshorim Ustumim Haklulim Batayra. This is the second wide line, that there are certain things which are not Nizgal in the Torah, doesn't say it Befeirish, but things that we learn out as a result of a Remez. And what do we learn from the Pasik? Voyuchayecha Tluim Lechomi Neged. Neged means that Chas V'Sholem, your lives are going to be in suspense. In other words, it's going to be dangerous times, and who knows what's going to happen. So the Dorshe Chamur is Darsh in the Pasik, Zahatoy Letfilav, that he, if Chas V'Sholem, you go and hang your tefillin from a peg on the wall, then Chas V'Sholem, your whole life is in danger, it's in suspense. It depends how you go and hang it. If you're hanging the tefillin from the Ritzuah, hanging it from the straps, and what's hanging down the bottom, that looks like a terrible, terrible bizoyin for the tefillin. That is shameful, Chas V'Sholem, that you can have the tluyin l'chomi neged, etc. However, habaktzitza, if in fact what you have is that the bias is on top of the peg, what's hanging down are the ritzuas, that would be permissible, because that's not such a bizoin. The basic part of the main part of the tefillin is sitting there comfortably. It's just the ritzuas are coming down. Nishgefel. After all, when a person wears the tefillin shiroish, you have the ritzuas coming down. So it's more or less the same. So that would be permissible. But you by saying even a better pshat, loishno ritzuah veloishno chatzitza oser. Both of them, whether you're hanging it from the strap or hanging it from the bias, both of them are prohibited. Ay v'chitol Rebbe, what did Rebbe do? It's talking about that the tefillin was inside a tefillin zekel, and he was just hanging the zekel. The zekel on top had a little hole in it, and he was able to hang that from the peg. But the tefillin themselves were nicely enclosed within the tefillin zekel. So therefore, not kasha at all. So what's a chedish today? So if it happens to be inside the zekel, the tefillin are all fine and good. Now the same, I would think, that maybe it has to be placed nicely on a table or nicely on a shelf, just like the Sefer Torah. You don't hang the Sefer Torah from a hook. The Sefer Torahs are always standing inside and aren't a kodesh. They should also be standing somewhere. So I might think, Kamash Malon, know that the inyan of tefillin is less than the inyan of Sefer Torah, and that is not required. Since we spoke about Rebbe, we're going to talk about other things that Rebbe did, which on the surface might seem problematic, and the Gemara is going to address each one of them. So what were those? Shegihek ufihek v'nisatesh v'rak. Gihek means when a person makes a burp, when a person has eaten too much or too little, whatever, and then there's a sound that comes out from his stomach and then from his mouth. I think the fancy English word is belching, but you understand what we're talking about.
A greps.
Oh, that also sounds like a fancy English word, or maybe it's in Greek. Ufihek means a person who's yawning because he's very tired. I think everybody knows what a yawn is. Venisatish means that a person is sneezing. And I saw somewhere that the word venisatish comes from the word achu, because whenever a person sneezes, he says, achu. And that's where the venisatish comes from. I don't know who made that up, but I saw it somewhere. Virak, if a person is spitting. So Rebbe did all of the foregoing in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. Whilst he was davening Shemoneh Esrei, he would, at times, he would belch, he would go and yawn, he would go and sneeze, and he would go and spit, not simultaneously. And we're not suggesting even always in the same tefillah, but occasionally Amul Azoy and Amul Azoy in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. Says Rashi, means that if in case he had a problem with lice, with kinim, instead of trying to address the louse directly by putting his hand on his skin, particularly if the skin was covered, what he would do is go and pick up his shirt up and down, and that way try to remove the kina or kill the kina, as opposed to going touching his skin, which was normally covered. What happens if, whilst he was davening, he was shuckling quite a bit, and guess what happens? His talus fell off. He would not put the talus back on in the middle of the tefillin, in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. Ukishu mafai. And if he ever had to yawn, he would always be careful to go and put his hand over his mouth. The word centra literally means chin, but here it means mouth. Why? Because it's a bizoin, says Rashi, when his mouth is open in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. If you ever saw a person yawn, maybe you never saw it, but if you see a person yawn, then he opens his mouth, kind of looks a little bit rough or gross, so therefore he'd always make sure to cover his mouth. Okay, so these are the hanhogos that Rabbi Chanina said he saw by Rebbe. Frank Gemara, are these things permissible? I'll ask you from a braiser. A person who is davening Shemoneh Esrei, he should daven Shemoneh Esrei quietly. And if he rather goes and says the words out loud, that's Miktani Amon. It's as if he's saying that the Rebbeinu Shlalom cannot hear him. Kadosh Baruch is already an old, old God. He doesn't have hearing aids. He doesn't hear, so he has to go and say it out loud. So that's considered to be Miktani Amon, as if he doesn't have full faith in Hashem that he hears him, even if he says it quietly. That's even more than Mashmiya. He says it. He's like a Novi Hashaker. Why is he more called a Novi Hashaker? Says Rashi, because he's a posik by Novi Hashaker, v'yikru b'koil gadol. Presumably that's talking about by the Novi Habal, and therefore they called out to God, b'koil gadol, with screaming and loud and all the rest. So he is similar to Novi Hashaker if that's the way he davens his Shemoneh Esrei.
So some chassidim that
We're not finished. I know you're talking with Stolen Akalina. We're going to talk about that shortly. Yeah. Anyway. Okay, so also thank you. That's a very, very good point. So now going back, Megayik Umafayik, the reason why we're bringing this again is because of the Hanhogas of Rebbe. We didn't say anything about Rebbe screaming out or saying that loud, but rather we spoke about Rebbe being Megayuk Mafayik, that is the belching and the yawning. Harzimigasya Ruach. This is considered to be a person who has a degree of arrogance, which is obviously inappropriate. If you're talking to Hashem, you have to speak to Hashem with humility, with anova, with modesty, not in an arrogant, brazen fashion.
This is tefillah, and earlier was Krishna.
Let's finish off, and we're going to get back to all the kashas. Hamasatish b'tefillah, if someone who's sneezing in the middle of his tefillah, simin ra loy. It's not a good thing if he sneezes in the middle of tefillah of his Shemoneh Esrei. So you're all thinking to yourself, well, I sneeze from time to time. Rabbi said, just wait, the Mitzvah would address all the questions. V'yesh others say, nikah shehu mechur, that this is not a nice thing. The Rashi's Masha, the Yeshom and Mechur, is not going on the case of the Mesatish, but it's going on the Megayik Umefayik part, on the Yawner and the Belcher, middle of Davening. Mechur means it's an ugly type of thing. Harak b'tfilasei, a person who's spitting out in the middle of tefillah, ki l'rak b'fnei ha-melech, it's as if he's spitting in front of the king. Boy, we have a whole bunch of things here that Rebbe did, and this b'rais is very critical. What do we say to that? So if you want bishlam megayim v'fayik l'kasha, this is a nishke felech, the belching and the yawning, kan le'ointzei, kan le'ritzoinei. If the person is in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, and all of a sudden he has to give a yawn.
He can't help it,
exactly. He would like to keep the yawning in, and he's probably going to try to constrain himself. Same thing on the burping and the grepsing and the belching. He's going to try to, but sometimes it just comes out, and it's embarrassing. I'm sorry, what can I do? But it's lonesome. Kandler Tzoynai, he saw it coming, and he felt it coming. Instead of constraining himself, he says, let me get that yawn out, and that'll give me a breath of fresh air, or get out that burp.
Or waiting to daven until he finishes yawning. Is this the middle of yawning, or is this before he yawns?
I don't know if he's in the middle of yawning, but he's in the middle of davening.
Okay.
So in the middle of davening, and that yawning or belching overtakes him. If it overtakes him that he cannot control himself, it's loinsight. Okay, it's loinsight. So that was Rebbe's case, that he didn't do it purposely. He probably tried his best to constrain himself, but he just couldn't. Litzoina means that the person is waiting for that opportunity. I have an upset stomach. I can't wait for that first greps coming out, and then some of the air will come up and it'll go down and it'll be much better. So when it happens, Baruch Hashem, finally. So that type of reaction, that is not considered to be nice. That's a gasi haruach type of situation. And it's nikishahu machur. That would be an ugly situation. Okay, so then I can understand. Oh, mesatish ha-mesatish, kasha. Here we said that Rebbe sneezed. And here we're saying that being mesatish, that is a simon ra'aloi. Both cases, Rebbe is talking about that he was davening Shemoneh Esrei, and this Bryce is also talking about Shemoneh Esrei. Neither of them are talking about Krishma. Both of them are Shemoneh Esrei. Rebbe Chanina watching Rebbe, as well as this Bryce. Here I see Rebbe sneezed, and here it says sneezing is not a good thing. Kasha, everyone misatish misatish, namile kasha, och nishveh, kan mal mata. It depends where the sneeze comes out from. If the sneeze is coming out from his mouth, that's not a problem whatsoever. In fact, people sneeze all the time. They have no choice. They're cold and they sneeze. That's perfectly fine, and that's what Rebbe did. Here we're talking about a sneeze that comes down from down below. What means down below? That the person let out some gas together with a sound at the same time. That's already not so proper, letting out the gas as well with a sound, but the ganze burp down below. That's what the Gemara calls simen ralei. Yeah, obviously the person will probably, hopefully will try to restrain himself, but if it lemaisa came out, it's a simen ralei, it's not good that the tefillah there should be gas coming out with an accompanying sound. That's the misatish mulamata. Zog the Gemara vaita, the Omer of Zera, Hamilza Ivlali Bei Rav Hamnuna. This halacha was taught to me, or this hanhaga was taught to me by Rav Zera. Ivla means that it was kind of swallowed in. He slipped it in, like parenthetically. But Bei Rav Hamnuna in the Besmedesh Rav Hamnuna, the tequila li ki kuli talmidoi. And for me, this is, the word tequila means like shokel. This is, I weigh this with the same degree of gravity as well as with simcha, like all of my learning. What is that? The misatish b'tfilasei simen yofeloi. A person who sneezed in the middle of his davening, that's a good simen. Before we said it's a simen ra. That's the misatish milamata. But the sneezing milamala is simen yofeloi. Kishem sh'oisn l'nachas ruch milamata, kach'oisn l'ruch amnachas ruch milamala. This milamata milamala is referring to down here on earth as opposed to Shemayim. And therefore we're saying that just like a Kodesh Baruch Hu has given him a little bit of Simen Yofolai that he sneezed, he was able to get out that coldness or that heat or whatever that he had in him, said he sneezed. So just like we make a Shikol Nachas Ruach Mamata, upstairs it's a Simen Toiv that they're giving him Nachas Ruach Mamala. You're going to ask yourself, why did Reb Zeira consider this to be Tekili Kikula Talmidoi? Says Rashi, because Reb Zeira was fortunately, unfortunately, a frequent sneezer. He kept on sneezing a lot. So it was always embarrassing to him. He's always in front of people in the middle of davening. He's always sneezing. He felt bad about it. So when they told him that it's a good thing to go and sneeze, then he felt good. Oh, see, look at the Rashi. Utkili kikule talmidoi. Rashi about 10 lines into the narrow lines. Shkulu olai v'chaviva. This that you've just taught me is so chaviv, is so beloved to me. L'fishoyi rogelis atish, because he was a frequent sneezer, and therefore it was probably quite embarrassing for him. So when he was told that sneezing is a good tesimin, oh, Baruch Hashem, that's a good thing. So he probably even sneezed even more than he used to sneeze. Anyway, but the point is, it's a simen yofoloi, no problem. But for Eitimara, we've answered the Megayik and Mefayik, we've answered the Misatish, but what about Ruk Arok? We said that Rebbe used to go and spit in the middle of his Shemin Esrei, and then we said a person who spits in the middle of Shemin Esrei is Chas Shalom, like spitting in front of the king. Also, Kasha. And for the more Ruk Arok, Nami Le Kasha. Efshet Kerav Yehuda, Diyam Rav Yehuda, Oymet B'Filip, B'Tasam Le Roik, Mavli B'Talisa, Vim Talis Nohu, Mavli B'Afrik Yesusai. What the Gemara is saying is, it depends what you do with the spit. When you have this saliva in your mouth, which you just have to get out, how did you get it out? So, the best thing to do is to be Mavli B'Talisa. Today we would say, go and take a tissue, or go and take a handkerchief. Here he's putting his talisa, in other words, one of his begodim. He didn't go and spit it out on the ground, but rather he would take that beged, put it close to his mouth, and let that beged. Apparently, he didn't have a spittoon. Yeah. But even putting a spittoon, that would probably be problematic because the spittle would be seen as it goes out the stream.
Covered way.
Very discreet way by taking a handkerchief, taking out the tissue, or something to go mi mavlia the roik. That's of course, but that's not a problem. What are you supposed to do with the saliva? The im talis, no. However, if he has a beautiful talis and he doesn't want to ruse any of his clothing, mavlio be afik kisusa. We had afik kisusa already yesterday. Afik kisusa, depending on which translation you look at, either it means like a large shawl or a scarf, or it also can mean parts of a turban, where the turban, the main part of the turban, of course, is on his head, but then there are two flaps that are coming out, similar to flaps that you have, for instance, that people have to cover the ears during the winter. So these also have two flaps. If you remember yesterday, we spoke about that one flap was used to wind the tefillin in, and the other flap was used to go and wind money in. Is that permissible? And Barry pointed out that a bai holds his money milsi. That was the one we had on the bottom of the Amid Beis, also with an Afar Kasusai. Here we're talking about Afar Kasusai not being used for the tefillin and for the money, but being used to go and get to absorb the saliva, the spittle right that the person had to get out during Shemin Esrei. Zokti Gemara, Ravina Havikoy Achoy Ravashi. Ravina was standing in back of Ravashi during Shemin Esrei. Nizdam Loik Roik, and he had Roik in his mouth, the spittle. Is Paskil Achoyre. What he did was he threw it in back of him. Throwing it back, it doesn't say clearly whether it means that he put into his hand and he threw it back, or it means it's just he turned his face backwards and he spit it towards the back of him as opposed to the front of him. So it shouldn't be disgraceful in front of the melech. Amalei, so he asked him, why did you have to do that? We just said, why don't you just go and put, I know you have beautiful clothing, you don't want to ruin your suit, you don't want to ruin your beautiful white shirt, nicely pressed from the laundry, but put in the Afar Kasusai. Now, what everybody does. Amalei, ano anina datoy. I am to be very, very finicky. I cannot walk around with a scarf or with a turban that part of it has in it saliva which has been absorbed, so I can't do it that way. That's why I had to go and throw it in back of me. So we've now answered all the questions that we had on the way Rebbe davened Shemin Esrei, about the yawning, about the belching, about the spitting, and about the sneezing. On to the continuation of that brisa. On the brisa which we brought here on the top of the Amid, we said, Hamashmiya kol betfilasei harizem miktani amana. And then you heard the people all being nervous about the kalin and the stolina, and then you heard already Reb Simcha said to Shemin Esrei, Zom Rav Huna, loishon al shiyoch lechavin es liboy belachash. If the person can daven Shemin Esrei quietly, and he's able to have kavana, avada, be quiet, don't say it out loud. If, however, he cannot be mechaven, he says the Shemoneh Esrei, he says it quietly, and the person starts daydreaming and starts thinking about what's going on in the impeachment, or what's going on with the Knicks, and what's going on in Russia and with Ukraine. If he's not able to be mechaven, then what? Then you are allowed to say it out loud. But that's davka biyachid if you're davening privately in your own room. But see, if you happen to be in the middle of shul and you start davening out loud, and people say, "Why are you davening out loud?" I have to have kavana. You're going to cause terdis for other people in the shul, and that's why people frequently, when they're davening Shemoneh Esrei, people are talking or saying whatever. We're trying to have kavana. So that's the inyan. Go and say it quietly. But to your question about the Kalina and the Stolina, they do not do it in the Shtilah Shemoneh Esrei. They only scream during Pesukei Zimra and other parts of davening, but not during the Shemoneh Esrei. Right, Reb Abba have come mishtamet minei Rav Yehuda to have a kaboy lemesek l'arid Yisrael. Reb Abba, who apparently was a Talmud of Rav Yehuda, he was about to make Aliyah, going to Eretz Yisrael, and Reb Abba especially did not want to be seen by his Rebbe, Rav Yehuda, because Rav Yehuda was not in favor of moving to Eretz Yisrael. To Om Rav Yehuda, kol ha'olim mibavel Eretz Yisrael. Whoever leaves Bavel to be Ola to Eretz Yisrael, oiver ba'asei is oiver an mitzvah sasei, shenem, it's in the pasuk. Bavela yuvau v'shama yiyu ad yoim pokti oisem li Om Hashem. Kodesh Baruch Hu is saying, I took you to Bavel as a result of the Golus, and Shama Yiyu, you should stay there in Golus, and Yoim Pakti Oisim until the Kadosh Baruch Hu sends the Mashiach and brings you back to Eretz Yisrael. Until that point, no Indian being Oilin Eretz Yisrael. If you're born in Eretz Yisrael, you're born in Eretz Yisrael. But if you're born in Bavel, no Indian to go up to Eretz Yisrael, according to Rav Yehuda. And therefore, Reb Abba didn't want to show his face in front of Rav Yehuda because he didn't want to defy his Rabbi. His Rabbi would ask him, "Are you? I heard rumors you're going to Eretz Yisrael." So therefore, he rather didn't want to be seen. In a sense. Then now, how taka do you interpret this pasuk? If you're not learning like Rav Yehuda, you go and interpret it that Bavela Yuvo is referring to the clay of the Beis HaMikdash, that those clay Mikdash were taken out into Golis by the various enemies, and so Bavela Yuvo, the clay Mikdash, are in those places in Bavel, Vishamayu, and they'll stay in Golis until the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, Yemei Tashem B'mheira, through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the third Beis HaMikdash. Anyway, so in the meantime, so the Baba says, but I want to learn in the meantime, I don't want to sit at home just on my hands. Omer Ezel Eshma Minei Milta Mi Beis Va'ada. What I'm going to do is I'm going to stand outside the shul, and then either I will hear standing outside, or people will come and go, and I'll ask them what was learned today in the yeshiva. And that's what he did. He stood outside. Rashi says, Beis Va'ada, I'm going to be standing outside the Beis Medrash. And then Mahadar Afik, the word Afik is a little inappropriate because Afik means to exit, and he's not exiting. If he doesn't enter, he can't exit. But really, the gears on the side is Mahadar Ezel, and after that, I will travel. In other words, I'll stick around as long as I can. My plane is at 5 o'clock. I have to be at the airport 2 hours before security, whatever. So until that time, I'm going to stand out to Beis Medrash, and I'll be able to hopefully hear something that's taught. Also, Litaka went to the Beis Medrash. He stood outside. Ashka Litana Diktoni, Kamid Rav Yehuda. He found one of the Talmidim Rav Yehuda saying the following halacha. The person is davening Shemoneh Esrei. Benetzatish, and he sneezed. Mamtin Achiyich Leharuach. Okay, so now the question is, whether this sneezing is up above or this sneezing is down below. Since the Gemara says Achiyich Leharuach, presumably it means that the person was sneezing from below, meaning that he let out some gas down below with a sound. What happens to that? Marchik la'achrov dalet amis. I'm sorry, I skipped a line. Back. It says on the side. In other words, it's bad enough that unfortunately he let out some gas, which we already said previously in the Braisa, that is not a simen toiv. The Braisa said that it's chas v'shalom simen raloi, and some say it's mechur. Anyway, bottom line, if this is what happens, it happened. What should he do now? Since there's gas, you have to wait until the gas passes, and then you'll continue davening Shemoneh Esrei. Don't daven Shemoneh Esrei. And by the way, this is not only in your own gas. It happens occasionally, unfortunately, that somebody's standing next to you and back you in front of you also lets out some gas. You got to wait until the gas passes before you continue davening Shemoneh Esrei. Ikri Amri, others said, Hoya Oimid B'tfilah. If he was standing davening, ubikish his atech, and he needed to go and pass gas, and he just couldn't hold it back, marchik v'akrav dalet amis, he should walk back 4 amis, umis atech, and he should let out the gas, umam tenat shiich l'ruach, wait until the reich goes away, and then he could continue davening again, and then he says a short tefillah, which is not part of the normal Shemoneh Esrei, but he acknowledges his frailties as a human being, and he says, "Va'omer Ribono Shel Olam, Yitzartanu, you created us, Nikovim, Nikovim, Chalulim, Chalulim," words similar to what we say in Ashi Yatzar, "Golav Yidu Lefanecha, you know Cherpasenu Klimasenu, our embarrassment and our shame, Bechayenu." That's unfortunate that we are frail, baser v'dam. U'bachriseinu, and even after we leave this world, rima v'seleia, we're going to be consumed by the worms, etc. And after he finishes that tefillah, then maslim makim shepasek, and he goes back to wherever he was in Shemoneh Esrei before. And this was the Torah that was said at the time in the Beis Medrash of Rav Yehuda, which Reb Abba heard outside. Amaleis, and now he told this Tana who said this halach in front of Rav Yehuda. He said, even if I just came just to hear this halacha that we just said now about a person who passes gas in Shemoneh Esrei, it was worth it. Now I know it, and now I can go up to Eretz Yisrael.
This is before Shemoneh Esrei. He can't move when he's in Shemoneh Esrei, so we're
talking about the person in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, and he has to go and be Mesatish. He has to go and pass gas. He should, in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, move back 4 steps or 4 amas, let the gas pass, so he's not disturbing where he was standing before, and he waits until it goes away, and then he goes and returns and davens. We're talking in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. Avada, normally in Yidam Shemoneh Esrei, you're not supposed to move, but we're talking about an extraneous, dire circumstances. What happens if a person is sleeping in a bed? He has his talis over him. Talis means in this case like a blanket or a sheet, and he's not wearing pajamas, and he wants to go and lay in Krishma. So the problem is that his eyes and or his heart can be royin esa erva. You're not supposed to go and say Krishma, for that matter, any Dovah Shebekdusha, if there's erva around, even if it's your own erva. So, but he can see his own erva because he's lying underneath the blanket. So what he should do is, normally I should go and say is, go and take your head and have the head protrude from your blanket. Most people sleep with the heads protruding anyway from the blanket, but he couldn't do it that day because it was very, very cold. It was 12 degrees below zero, and it's freezing, and he didn't want to freeze like a popsicle. So what he did, he kept his head underneath a blanket as well. But now, since the head is underneath the blanket, and his erva is underneath the blanket, then you have his head and his eyes potentially seeing the erva. We don't mean that you actually have to see the erva, but the fact that they're both in the same
space,
under the same blanket, since there is a possibility of various erva, that would be prohibited. You couldn't say Krishma. So what should you do? Chaytis patalisei al tzavare. What you try to do is, even though his head is underneath the blanket, you should go and take the talis, the blanket, the sheet, the clothes that he has, and try to press it close to his throat. In other words, make it like into a choker, like a tight scarf. And as a result, then his eyes won't be able to see down below, because now you have this mechitza, the talis around his neck. The Kari Krishna, then he can go and lay in Krishna. The Yesh Omrim, others said, don't go and put the talis closely around your neck, but put it aliboy, around his heart. The reason why around his heart, because is the din of, you shouldn't have liboy roya esa erva. So now, Frey Dimara, I see that the second Mandiyam, the Yesh Omrim, is makvir of aliboy. The Tanakam is not worried about aliboy. The Tanakam, hari liboy roya esa erva, even though his face and his eyes can't see because you put it around the neck, but his heart sees the erva. Isn't that the same issue? Furthermore, because of libra'is erva is mutter. In fact, there's a machloikis about the din of libra'is erva, whether it's permissible or not permissible, and the Tanakama holds, I'm not worried about the liboy, only worried about the einai. But the second man, the homosaka, holds al liboy, and that's the reason why it says that one should wear a belt or a gartel, or at least the in Shulchan Aruch says one should wear a gartel, also because of hikoy likas elekech Yisrael, that's hachonah. Why do you wear a gartel? Because that's also machitza between the lev and between the erva down below. We're not just saying that you're not just wearing the gartel, that's the only piece of clothing. You're wearing it around your waist and your clothes, and therefore, where previously your lev could see under the clothes, so to speak, to the erva, but by putting on the gartel around it, that becomes the mechitza in between. Those that are not makbid aren't gartelich, and there are a few of those among us. It has to do with the fact that nowadays almost everybody wears either a belt around the pants, or they had a band around their underwear, around their underpants, that attaches to the body. So therefore, at all times, there is a mechitza between the lab above and the erva down below, just because of the waistband of either the pants or the underpants. Anyway, but there's an inya of libra is erva. The Tanakama did not subscribe to that. That's why the Tanakama said the talisa al savarai, and the second man the yomer said al libra. Amr avuna, amr Rabbi Yochanan.
And the word tie, then, at least according to the first man.
Number. You don't. You do. You do not.
You do, because that's according to that way.
It's above.
It's above.
Excellent. Then be between the there. And so that, maybe that's the makar why people wear ties. Maybe. Efshiyu efshinishu. Amr avuna, amr Rabbi Yochanan. Hoi mahalik ben boi such an office. What happens if a person is walking in a dirty alleyway, and it is time to go and lay in Krishma, and he can't wait because by the time he leaves that Moviya Matunov, it'll be too late. So says Rav Huna, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Meniach Yodei Alpiv. What he can do is put his hand over his mouth, the Kaira Krishma, and say Krishma. In other words, it's obviously not a perfect machitza; it's his hand, and that's part of his body. But at least to go and show a simon that the rest of the alley is kind of disgusting, and therefore he wants to show at least a certain degree of respect to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So he's laying Krishma, but he puts his hands over his mouth to act as shtikl machitza between his mouth and between the mavi metunef down below. Amr of Chizda. So Rav Chizda heard this from Rav Huna, Amr of Yochanan, Rav Huna in the name of Yochanan, and Rav Chizda said, "Well, Akim," he went and swore in the name of Hashem, and Amr li Rav Yochanan mipume. Even if I heard this directly from Yochanan, not from you, Rav Huna, even if I heard directly from Rav Yochanan, I would not listen to him, meaning that I would never go and say Krishma in a Mavi Matunav. Either I wouldn't walk in the Mavi Matunav, before I got to the Mavi Matunav, I'd say Krishma, but I would never do something like that because I think that that's disgraceful. Ikari Amri, there's another version of the story which is virtually the same, only different Mandi Amrim. Amr Rabbi B'chana, not Rav Huna, but Rabbi B'chana, not Amr Rabbi Yochanan, but Amr Rabbi Shuma Levi. Hayim Ha'alam Mavuyas Rav is going through a dirty alley. Meniach Yodei Alpiv, like we just said, occurred at Krishma. Amr Rav Chizu, Alekim, I swear in the name of Hashem, Im Amr Li Rabbi Shuma Levi B'pumei. Or Rabbi Shuma Levi, if I heard it directly from Shuma Levi, not from you, Rabbi B'chana, but I heard it from you, Shuma Levi, B'pumei, from his mouth, Lo Yitzi Asnalei, I would not listen to him at all. I'm sorry, what's
he promising?
Presumably what he would have done is that when he sees that he's going to Mavi Matunov, he would say, I know I'm going to be late to X, Y, or Z, but I'm going to stay out of the Mavi Matunov and I'm going to go and lay Krishma. I would never think of laying Krishma in this dirty alleyway, even by putting my hand in front of my mouth. Frank Dimar, did Rav Huna say that? Even though Rav Huna was quoting Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara assumes that Rav Huna is in agreement with Rabbi Yochanan. And now we're going to ask a see Rav Huna, Rav Huna, Bam Rav Huna. Talmud Chacham also lay lamed b'makamatinoyves. And Talmud Chacham not let even stand in a dirty alleyway. Why lefi she'efshalay lamed b'li here Torah? Since the Talmud Chacham is constantly engaged in thinking about Torah, Akasha, Ateretz, so they have to be in clean places, so you can't even stand in the Makom Matanoifes, let alone walking through the Makom Matanoifes. So how did Rav Huna say you can walk and say Krishma? Are you not even supposed to stand in a place like that? Everyone l'kasha, kama oymin kam b'mahalach. If you stand, that's taka prohibited. Also like, walking is okay. What's the difference between oymin and between mahalach, says the Ritva, because we have a pasuk in the Torah, you can't rank him. Yeah. What means mahalach? It says in the pasuk that wherever you are residing in your machne has to be holy. So what the Gemara is telling us is, as a ritva, just standing in one place for the period of a half a minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, it's as if you're making a machne, it's your residence for the next 2 or 3 minutes. That's prohibited by machnecha kodesh, because then you wouldn't be able to go and think divrei Torah. However, mahalach, you can't say that's your machne, you're just passing through. Passing through, that's okay, not an issue. Did Rabbi Yochanan say you can go into a mokay metunaf and say Krishma by putting your hand over your mouth? The same Rabbi Yochanan said, everywhere you're allowed to be mahar b'divrei Torah, chutz mibeis amerchus mibeis akisei, including parenthetically this mokum and this mavi hametunaf, because just like you can't go and say it a beis amerchus beis akisei because of potential stench and erev and all the rest, so you can't say mavi mokum mavi metunaf also not. So how does Rabbi Yochanan answer this kasha? So you're going to say the same teretz. kan ba'oimid kan b'mahalach, that Rabbi Yochanan said, don't stand in a base American and a base Akisei and think in Divrei Torah. But you're allowed to pass through. If you're just walking through, then you'd be able to continue thinking and saying Krishma. Anyone b'bavo have a ka'ozu basrei Rabbi Yochanan, v'have a kori kriyishma, and Rabbi Avo was walking in back of Rabbi Yochanan. He was in the middle of saying Krishma, and as he was walking, kimatim voice abtunav voice, he comes to a mavim metunav, ishtik, he was quiet. In other words, he took a break. He had walked until now nicely in a few blocks. Rabbi Avo said Krishma slowly. So he had walked already a couple of blocks and everything was clean, clean, clean. Now he's in the middle of Krishma and I have a Makam Matunav. So he walks to the Makam Matunav and he was quiet the whole time for the next minute or two or three and he didn't say a word. And now we finally come out of the Makam Matunav. Rabbi Avo says to Rabbi Yochanan, Lehechana Hadr, I know I took now a break in between. Do I have to start all the way from the beginning of Krishma? Or can I just continue from where I left off in Krishma 2 or 3 minutes ago? Amaleis, Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Avo, Im Shehisa Kadei Ligmar Eskula, if the amount of the break was enough to go and say the entire Krishma from beginning to end, Chazor L'Roish, then you're going to have to start all over again from the beginning. So now, why did Rabbi Yochanan even get involved in all this? Rabbi Yochanan should have gone and told him, sir, you didn't have to go and be ishtik, you could have continued saying Krishma all along, just make sure to go and cover your mouth. So apparently, Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold of this walking, talking, and covering the mouth at the same time, Eitzah, that he said before. Evdimara, no, Hachik Amalei. Rabbi Yochanan told him the following. Lididi, according to me, Leisvir li lididach. I hold that you didn't have to go and break at all. You could have continued saying Krishma, just make sure to go and cover your mouth while you say the Krishna in the Makam Matunav. Lididach, according to you, the Svir Lach, that you hold that you're not supposed to go and say Krishma or anything in a Makam Matunav. Gzuntait, if that's your Shita, fine. But Mshehizik, Deli Mars is cooler. If the amount of the break was sufficient to go and say the entire Krishna from beginning to end, Chazor L'Roish, you have to go back to the beginning. So the Ma'aseh, there's no steer Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan continues to hold you allowed to say it l'chatchila, just cover your mouth. However, according to you, that you're not supposed to say it. Okay, then make sure to go back to the beginning. So we have now two views over here. We have Rav Huna and we have Rav Chisda. Rav Huna, the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that it's permissible by going through and covering your mouth. And Rav Chisda, that was opposed to it. Rav Chisda said, even if I'd heard it directly from Rabbi Yochanan, I would not accept that ruling. Tani Kibasa Rav Huna, Tani Kibasa Rav Chisda, Tani Kibasa Rav Huna. Ha Mahalach Ben Boi Samatanof, is he going through such a dark and schmutzig and stenchful and odorful mavi minichir al pivik rikar krishma, oh, just like Rav Huna said the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Tani Kibasa Rav Chisda, don't say Krishma, just like Mavo didn't say Krishma whilst he was walking through the Makam Truf. If he was previously reading Krishma, Uba, and he comes now to the Makam Tunav, Poiseg, he should stop in his tracks, don't continue Krishma. So either stop and finish Krishma before you get to Makam Tunav, or don't say anything, wait until you get out to the other side, and just make sure it wasn't Shah Kedei, the whole shear of the entire Ligmar Skula, otherwise you're going to have to start all over again, like Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Avoh. Loi Pasek Mai, what happens if the person goes through the Mavi and Matunav and he continues saying Krishma? Omer Rabbi Yashia Bar Bered Rabbi Shuman Levi, all of a Kasav Oimer. I gave you chukim that you yid that are willing to go and daven and say Krishma, not daven, say Krishma in Makam Matunav, loitoivim, you've taken my chukim and apparently you don't approve of them, you're denigrating them by saying it in Makam HaMatunav, all dirty place. And therefore, as a result, Chas Hashem, Mishpat L'Yichyu Behem, you're not going to have any chiyus and Cholila V'Chas, it could be dangerous for you. A person that goes and puts upon himself, moishach means to drag upon himself, ovain, sin, the chavli hashav, with very, very flimsy ropes. In other words, not with heavy duty ropes, but with little strings and little threads, they go and bring avoinus on them. Meaning, not talking about major actions like chas v'shalom, a person killed someone, or a person steals, or does major, big time, heavy duty averis. He brings averis even with kleinekite, with thin threads. In which respect? Says Rashi, because by dibur is much, much less than an action, than a maisa, and he's bringing sins upon himself through dibur ba'alma. Don't do that. just say Krishma outside the Makom Matunav, not inside the Makom Matunav. If you look at Rashi, about eight lines before the end, it says Rashi, Bechav Liyashav, Bechavolim, ropes, She'enim Chazaka, which are flimsy, Elenoichim Linosik, they could easily be torn, Hey Moishchen Oven Ha'atzim, they're bringing, with those types of threads, they're bringing the Averis on themselves, Avze Ali Dei Dibur Ba'al Mahun Anash, just through a Dibur, he didn't even take it out, I just said words. But Chas V'Shalom will be punished for that if he says in a Mokim HaMetunim. Rabbi Barhava Om Mihocha, back to the Gemara, it says in the Pasuk, Dvar Hashem Boza. Dvar Hashem, this is a Dibur of Hashem of Kriyishma. Boza, he's Mevaze Chas V'Shalom Hashem. And therefore, the Pasuk continues on, Cholilach Yikaris Tikaris, not a nice outcome. In Pasuk, what happens if this person stops when it comes to Makom Matunav, and he does not say Krishma, Maschori, what is his reward? Umr Bavo, Olav Akasu Aimer, Obadover Azel, with this Dibur, Tariqa Yamu, you'll be Zoicha, Tariqas Yamim, Betoivim, have a wonderful day, Rabbi Sai. Let's see you.
Again,
Chaydish. Again, Chaydish.